15. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. We'll look at verses 1 and 2 today. So if you think you're getting out early because there's only two verses, well, we'll see. The Lord can give us a lot in two verses. So we've been looking at Paul explaining justification by faith alone. So we know that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, according to Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. There's nothing that we do to add to that. We can't. And Paul spends some time in Romans telling us that. So we're in chapter 5 now, and he's still explaining it to us. Now understand that chapters and verses didn't come along in the Bible. Chapters came along in the 1200s, and verses came along in the 1500s. The Geneva Bible was actually the first one in the 1500s that put chapters and verses together, like we know it today. So Paul wrote a letter, just like we would write a letter. So he spent many, many paragraphs talking about and explaining justification by faith alone. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The benefits of justification by faith. The benefits of justification by faith. Now we know there are many who simply refuse to believe what Scripture says, that we're saved by Christ alone. We're saved by Him. They simply refuse to see what Scripture says about salvation. They want Jesus and they want to add something. It's amazing how arrogant we are to think we could actually add anything to what Christ has already done for us. Man, we can't add anything to that for our salvation. So people have been wrongly taught that it takes faith and works to save you. All you have to do is ask somebody a simple question. When you die, are you going to heaven or not? If they say, I hope so, their faith is not in Christ alone. Their faith is in Christ plus what they can do. So this mindset has to be diminished for us to understand our desperate need for Jesus, and that is only His finished work on Calvary's cross that has saved us. Because many people have been misguided in their thinking of salvation, and they think they must contribute something to it. And some of them use a passage. You know, we'll talk about this for just a moment. Some may use a passage of Scripture like James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, where James writes this: what use is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give to them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see what they're doing is misunderstanding what James is trying to see. See, the faith one has in Christ Jesus is discerned by its effects. That is, serving others through good works. So good works do not save you. You are saved, therefore you do good works. Faith in Jesus Christ, which is accompanied by repentance, is the only requirement in the New Testament for salvation. Good works is not required for salvation. It is part of the evidence of salvation, just like your baptism. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, that's first. for good works, which he prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Over again and again and again in Scripture, there's the distinction, a clear distinction, that a believer is justified by faith or through faith in Christ alone. But the transformation of that in a person's life is that now his focus is not on himself, but it's on the Father's business. God has prepared good works for us to walk in. That word walk there in the Greek is meaning conduct ourselves in or be preoccupied or occupied with. So that God has given us good works to be occupied with because we are his. We're his first by faith alone. And because we are his, he has works for us to do. Therefore, we do the works because we are saved, not to be saved. See, genuine faith in Jesus produces a desire in us to be obedient to him and to be about his kingdom work as we go along through our daily lives. Now that we have this discernment of the truth in Scripture, that good works are a result of saving faith in Jesus, let's continue here in Romans chapter 5. Paul hammers down on it. Man, listen, if the Holy Spirit didn't think it was important, he wouldn't have mentioned it a whole lot in the Bible. But he thinks it's real important for us to get as Christians to understand that we're saved in Christ alone. There's nothing that this imperfect human being, Kevin West, can do to add anything to the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Verses 1 and 2, Romans chapter 5, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained the introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father God, as we dive into your word, how important it is that you inspired Paul to write extensively that our salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, he challenged people of that day, and we're still challenged today. We're challenged even personally not to think that we're adding something to our salvation. God, and there are many in them around us who are struggling with this. They can't comprehend that their salvation is all grace in Jesus. And they want to tack on some kind of religious order, some kind of act of their own. And God, that has nothing. Matter of fact, it only discredits what Jesus has already done completely. Father, teach us through your word. Let it just build and bury down into our soul today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Repetition is the mother of learning. You've heard me say that many times. And Paul repeatedly goes to this justification that we're just in the sight of God by faith alone in Jesus Christ. So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's pretty much convinced us all through Scripture that the only way to be saved, is to be justified by grace through faith in Christ our Lord. So we're given these practical benefits of this eternal truth. Notice Paul doesn't tell us that we're destined to be healthy or wealthy or powerful or prosperous like many television evangelists want to tell you. Paul doesn't tell us that. No. He doesn't tell us how to be prosperous through the world standards. He tells us the benefits and the prosperity by God's standards. The first one is this, that you are justified by faith. Oh, look at the beauty in that. Man, that we don't have to spend our whole lives working, trying to earn something that we'll never earn. That Jesus Christ earned it for us. So this justification by faith, it speaks of a legal declaration in God's court of law. Remember, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments there on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. Those Ten Commandments were, hey, if you're going to be righteous, if you're going to be holy, if you're going to be like God, you have to keep these perfectly. Now think about it. Think about those Ten Commandments. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every moment, every thought, every word, every motivation, every desire had to be perfect. I don't know about you, but I can't do it. I didn't do it this morning. And you may not either. There's thoughts that come to our mind. There's frustrations that come to our mind. There's irritations that come to our mind. There's all sorts of things that we deal with. And we realize how broken we are, how much we need Jesus, and how much we depend upon him for our salvation. Because if it depended on me, and if it depended on you, we're bound for hell. So what good could we add to our salvation when God's done it all for us? See, when we broke God's perfect divine law, we violated that law. It left us guilty in the court of God. God's glory, and boy, it stings on our conscience. However, because of what Jesus did, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross. He shed his innocent blood for our sins, and then he resurrected from the dead. 3 days later, listen, the righteousness of God is given to all who believe upon Jesus. Case closed. Jesus will turn no one away who comes to him in faith and repentance. No one. Our guilty sentence is transformed into an acquittal, where we are justified before God through faith in Christ Jesus. Look at the benefits Paul mentions here. In verse 1, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand, because of sin, we were enemies of God. We were at enmity with God. In other words, there was a breach in our relationship with him. We were rebellious enemies of God. The first benefit we enjoy because of Christ being justified with him through faith is peace with our Heavenly Father, our Creator, Almighty God. We're at peace with him. We're no longer at war with God. Because of the price of our salvation has been paid in full through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, God's justice toward us is eternally satisfied. Notice, this is not peace of God. This is not the peace of God that's mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is peace with God. Because most of us never think that we're enemies with God. Well, we've never considered ourselves to be an enemy of God. But before we belong to Jesus, we are an enemy of God. Because we're in rebellion against him. We are his enemy. And he shows us grace. He shows us mercy for those who will respond to him. And this peace with God. The battle between God and ourselves is finished in Christ Jesus. And God won, let you know. We never win against God. God wins. What did he win? He won you and he won me. That's what he won. He gets to spend eternity with us, and we get to spend eternity with him, worshiping him in his kingdom, in perfection over there. Before we responded to Jesus through faith and repentance, man, we were his enemy in rebellion, and all that we wanted to do was please ourselves. It doesn't matter. You may have been a very religious person. You know what religion does apart from Christ? It only fuels the distaste. It only fuels this frustration. It only fuels this anger toward us because we are trying to do religious habitual acts to earn something that we never could, that only God can provide. You think about it. Religious efforts apart from Jesus Christ only fuels our rebellion against him, only refuses to earn, to see salvation as something that he earned for us that we can't earn ourselves. Man, rebellion against God's mercy. We were in rebellion against God's grace, the gift of God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what religious practices apart from Jesus Christ does. That's all it does. That we're coming to church, we're trying to do all the churchy things. We go through all the classes, we go through this, and we go through that. We jump through all the religious hoops. And at the end, we're trying to work our way there. Trying to earn enough merit that when we die, we hope we'll go to heaven. Man, that's a slap in the face of God for sending his son Jesus to give it to us freely. The grace of God is free. Maybe you've never thought about it that way. Maybe you never thought about that you were, you know, that you were at war with God, and now that you're in Christ, you have peace with God. Maybe if you were just doing religious things, you never thought about being at war with God. You were just doing what your religious teacher said to do. You did what you thought was right. You just habitually performed the requirements of religious practices, hoping that it was all good enough to convince God that when you die, you get into heaven. Does it sound like something you've ever thought before? Does it sound like something that you're thinking now? You see, only Christ, listen, only in Christ alone, through your faith in him alone, are you justified before God and have peace with him. Man, to believe that you and I can add any kind of value to this finished work of God's only begotten Son is an insult to Jesus and his sacrifice. Man, what did Jesus die for if we could earn it? But Paul over and over here in Romans is reminding us you can't earn it. God gave us the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel to show you can't live up to this. You can't live this way, but I've got a plan for you. Will you submit yourself to me? Will you trust me? Follow me? Peace with God can only come through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. See, Christians are no longer at war with God. Now, Christians, we battle the flesh. We battle the world. We battle sin. We battle Satan. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. But my goodness, day after day, we battle the power of that sin. That sin that's tempting us to be entangled to it, to make us useless for kingdom work. We no longer battle with God, we battle for God. Christian, we so wish that God would have taken the power out of sin. He took the penalty, so when we die, heaven is our home because of Christ, not because of us. But every day we have to go to battle with the temptations, with the sins that lurk to seek to destroy us. It's a battle, but we're battling for God. We're battling for him now. We learn to hate the very things that God learns that God hates. We learn to hate those things. Charles Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon is a pastor from the 1800s there in England. He says, "I am delighted to find that sin stings you and that you hate it. The more hated of sin, the better the better, the more hatred of sin, the better. A sin-hating soul is a God-loving soul. If sin never distresses you, then God has never favored you. That's powerful. The second benefit that we find in being justified by faith is that we have grace. Verse 2 says, into this grace in which we stand. So we have to get this picture. Not only does grace pursue us and save us, but we now have a permanent standing in God's grace. It is now our permanent condition, God's grace. Standing of grace. We have God's unmerited favor, which is given through Christ Jesus and gained by faith in Him as Savior. Grace not only is the way in which we're saved, it continues. That's where we continue to abide. It is our current standing before God. When God sees you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus Christ, who's robed you with righteousness. Let me say, that's a standing of grace. Because we can all look in the mirror and see where we failed. Man, we can look in the mirror, and Satan reminds us so many times of how big of a failure we really are. And man, that'll get us so down. That'll defeat us if we buy into that. But we need to understand that we have a standing of grace. Grace begins and continues to be the principle of the Christian life. That is where we are at, in grace of God. It says, into this grace in which we stand. We stand there in the Greek means to abide or to appoint or to continue. We stand, translated in a perfect tense, means it is used in this sense of something present, but also a continuing state. So, yes, when we're saved, we're in a state of grace, but it is a continuing state of grace. Oh, Christian, never forget that. That's why we can say we persevere through Christ to the very end. That's how we have the security of the believer. Why? Because we have a permanent state of grace with God. See, there are Christians who think they begin with grace, and then they think that God somehow changes it over to want to deal with us according to the principles of His law. They believe that all those past sins were there forgiven, but now that I'm saved, I gotta try to meet up to the law. Listen, Jesus Christ died for all sins, past, present, and future. Because when He died on the cross, I wasn't born yet and you weren't born yet, so every sin that we've ever committed was still in the future. Think about it. Are you 2,000 years old? No. So every sin that we've committed according to the cross was in the future. No. This is the idea of earning and deserving grace. And Apostle Paul there spoke against that very line of thinking in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what Paul says to the Galatians, and I can think he says, oh Vilplatians, oh Evangeline Parish people. He says, oh foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Ooh. Who taught you wrong? Who gave you this false information? Who lied to you? Who crossed you over? Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, he said, you were saved by the Holy Spirit regenerating you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It's a spiritual battle going on. What now do you think that you're adding something to, or God is dealing with you in your flesh? That you have to perfect the flesh. Does it give us a license to go out and sin? No, that's not showing love to God. We grow beyond those things. We sin less because we love God more. See, a standing of grace is security that God's attitude to the believer in Jesus Christ is one of joy. It's one of beauty. And it's one of pleasure. When God sees you, child of God, he sees beauty. Why? Because he sees a son. He takes pleasure in you. He wants to spend time with you. God is for us. We're in his favor because we are in Christ Jesus. Man, listen to what standing in God's grace means. Here's a few things for you. First one is this. I don't have to prove my worth to God for him to love me. Second one is this. God calls me friend. I'm no longer an enemy of God because of sin. The third one. I have permanent access to God through Christ. Listen, Christian, every time you pray, you go directly to the throne room of God. You're praying to the Father through his Son, Jesus. We also see there is no score sheet to settle accounts with Jesus on Judgment Day. Hey, Christian, you know the Judgment Day that you will have? The judgment day that we as Christians will have is a rewards judgment day. It's the things that we do since we're saved to the day that we die, kingdom work. And he rewards us for those things that we've done for his kingdom. That's our judgment day, Christian. The judgment day for lost people is the great white throne judgment. There's a score sheet, and God shows them their life of all the failures they had, and they never, never received Jesus to erase it all. Because of our standing of grace to God, I don't know about you, but I spend less time hating myself and more time praising God. There are some times I get down on myself pretty hard. But as I grow in Christ, it's a whole lot less. And the last one is this. That I've been moved, and you have been moved from due punishment to a place of favor with Almighty God. You and I were going to hell because of our sin. But now we have the standing of grace with God that we are going into his presence to experience his glory. We also see this from the passage. We have access to this amazing grace through faith in Jesus. We sing about amazing grace. It's probably one of the most beloved hymns of all. But do you understand that it's God's grace that is given to us through Christ? Verse 2 says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith. We have obtained or accessed this standing of grace with God through faith in Jesus as Savior. See, it's not ours if we don't believe in Christ, upon Christ. Not just believing that Jesus was a person, not just believing he lived in ancient Israel, not just believing he did some wonderful things, not just believing he was a miracle worker, but believing that he is who he says that he is the Son of God. That we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ that he proclaimed. See, the only faith we do access, only through faith do we access this standing of grace with God. We can't work our way to it. We can't add enough religious acts to obtain a standing of grace. And it's because of this standing of grace, we have access to the very throne room of heaven. Our prayers are heard. We speak directly to the Father through the Son. Oh, that is such a beautiful thing. Listen, we speak to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are as believers. That's a benefit of being justified by faith in Christ. We also see in this passage, a latter part of verse 2 says, because we have this standing of grace, we have the benefit of hope in the Lord. Verse 2 says this, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Hope in the glory of God. It's a beautiful, eternal promise of our standing of grace and the peace that God gives us in Christ Jesus through faith. Oh, it's beautiful. Paul writes this, we boast in the hope. Boast means triumphant or rejoicing in confidence. And hope is this happy certainty. So let's put this together. Our standing of grace and peace with God brings triumphant, rejoicing confidence of happy certainty. That's what it brings to us. That as this life goes with all its ups and downs, with all its highs and lows, with all its stresses, with all the things going on in this world, I have a hope in Jesus Christ that this is all temporary and I'm on my way home. That is my confidence. That is because of what Jesus did and not what Kevin West does that gets him there. And the same thing for you. It's not what you do. Slide your name in there. But it's what Jesus has done in your behalf, and you trust upon him, and he brings you home. That is a hope. That is a happy confidence in the glory of God, that we will spend eternity basking in the glory of God. We, having been justified by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone, brings us peace with God. And our standing of grace, giving us a happy, happy certainty of this triumphant rejoicing, confidence that abides in the glory of God for all eternity. Oh, Christian, today, if you're not rejoicing on the inside, regardless of what goes on the outside, there's this abiding joy to know that we're heavenly bound. We're headed for home where we bask for all eternity in the glory of God. Our minds can't even conceive it, but I tell you what, it's exciting to know that this is not our home. We're just passing through. Listen, today, I pray that you believe upon Christ Jesus alone for your salvation. Maybe you've coming from a background that's taught you some other things that you need to have Jesus, but you have to do these other things. Listen, forget that nonsense. That's not what the Bible says. We just read it over and over, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not Jesus plus anything. Oh, today, would you just please turn to Jesus for your salvation, not you plus Jesus. Will you today stop trusting in your good works, stop trusting in your religious ceremonies and your rites and your rituals, and then quit attempting to add anything to the finished work of Jesus? Salvation, please, let's get this. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, according to his scripture alone. And why? It's all for the glory of God alone. God gets the glory for saving us, not us saving ourselves. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know the Jesus of the Bible? Or have you been fed a Jesus that's tainted with your works, that's tainted by your efforts? Oh no, the only Jesus that we're saved by is the Jesus of the Bible. Do you know him today? Would you believe upon him in repentance of your sin? Let's pray. Father God, as we stand together, and we're before you in prayer, knowing that you hear us today, Lord. Maybe there's someone in the sound of my voice. Lord, they've trusted religion. They've trusted being a Baptist and trusted being a Catholic, trusted being Assembly of God or Pentecostal or Church of Christ, whatever it is. Lord, whatever title they've called them, they've trusted that, those religious efforts, and they've never trusted you. Oh, Father, today I pray that they would see themselves and believe upon you as the only hope of their salvation. And not add anything or try to add anything, because we can't. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Our salvation has been paid in full. Justification for us has been met and satisfied in heaven. Oh, Father, today would we just plainly and simply humble ourselves before you. And so, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. I believe that you are who that you say that you are. And Lord, teach me more about you, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Maybe there's someone in this audience, maybe there's someone who's listening by Facebook or YouTube or on the website, Lord, they're listening, they heard that, and they prayed right where they're at. Maybe they're in a car, maybe they're at home, maybe they're on vacation somewhere, and today they just cry out to you. Lord, knowing that you are a good God, that you turn no one down who comes to you in faith, in repentance of their sin. Receive them into your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.